out. And if you gotta make some trash, well, don't throw it out. Recycle. We gotta learn to recycle. We gotta learn to reduce, reuse, recycle.
Welcome back. Talking about a topic that's actually very passionate to me, because I have had tours of the landfills around Maricopa County. Huge landfill dilemma down in North Tucson. Where is all this trash going to go? Almost 30 years ago, the recycling concept was introduced. We're going to give you two canisters now. We'd like you at the consumer point, at your homeowner, at your home, actually start separating the products for efficient disposal. So we brought in the Zero Waste Coordinator for Public Works of Phoenix, Lucas Mariocker. Lucas, again, thanks for joining us.
Sure, thanks for having me.
As well as Brenda Yanez, the Public Works, from Public Works, the Public Information Officer.
Thanks for letting us get the word out.
So we try and get people educated. We have to roll this program out. Are we getting the kind of participation y'all had hoped and anticipated by this time?
Yes. So from a participation perspective, we're doing great. So we're approximately around 89% to 90% participation rates of the households that we serve. So that's really good.
That is good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much is not going to the landfill?
Can we talk about how much is going first?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Let's talk about that.
So like, I can explain it from that direction.
About Phoenix, just the city of Phoenix, not counting the other cities, we produce about 1 million tons of garbage every year. That's,
wow.
I think, enough to fill Chase Stadium, if you can visualize it, about 7 times. Is that right, Lucas?
Yeah, that's correct.
To the
seven
rafters.
Times.
To the rafters. You have to open the ceiling and drop the last bag in from the top.
That's a lot of garbage.
7 times.
Each year.
In one
year.
And we're burying 7 Chase Fields in a landfill in Buckeye. So our landfill's in Buckeye, Arizona. Most people don't know that. So it's a long distance.
How big is that? How many?
It's a very
big. Acres or?
Yeah, we have a, I don't know the acres.
It's 2,650 acres.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a large, so we do have a long life expectancy of that landfill, but that doesn't mean we should be filling it at the rate we are.
Right.
So our goal
And we've closed a couple. In the last decade, we closed Skunk Creek, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We closed Carefree Highway, which was my favorite landfill because it was.
You have a favorite landfill, Rosie.
Yes, I did.
That's cute.
Yes, I did. And now it's a golf course.
That's true. Yeah, repurposing, right?
Yeah.
We're all about reusing, reducing, repurposing. So, so we'll take it from there, Lucas.
Well, so the challenge is that, you know, like you said, we do have closed landfills. I believe we have 5. And when we went to go out to get a new one back in the early 2000s, you know, obviously no one wanted that in their backyard. So we got it in Buckeye. But the challenge with that is it's 55 to 59 miles away from our transfer station. So every day we're sending 125 long haul trucks all the way to the landfill to bury stuff. And that's every day. Well, I think it's 5 days a week, but it's a lot of trash that we're burying. So our goal
is a lot of gas to get it down there.
Yeah, exactly. So we came up with some goals back in 2013, along with our mayor and city council, which we call Reimagine Phoenix, which is a really initiative to divert 40% of the waste that we generate from the landfill by 2020. So we're at about 33%.
We
right
are.
Now. Yeah, we've gone up.
We're 2/3 away there.
We're close, but it doesn't mean it's not going to be hard to get to the extra
7%.
Because it's a lot. It's a lot, that million. So we're taking chunks out of that million. So
And how did you take those chunks out?
Part of Reimagine Phoenix was to come up with new programs. So we have a curbside, what we call a green organic. So it's a yard waste composting program. So certain neighborhoods have availability to subscribe to that program for $5 a month. And
that's
so,
That's the third container you can have.
Yeah,
it's the
black,
the blue, and the green. That's on a pilot program right now, only available in certain neighborhoods. All clippings and yard.
Yeah, yard, any sort of yard waste, cactus, grass, even, you know, if you have a farm, animal manure, there are some people that use it for that. And we can compost that at our brand new state-of-the-art compost facility back at 27th Avenue Transfer Station.
So
like horse manure, just everything?
Yeah, that's acceptable. No pet waste, horse manure is acceptable. We run that through our compost system down at our transfer station. We turn that into a very clean compost that certain times of the year we've given it out once so far to the public for free, but it's a lot of people call it brown gold because it's super clean. It looks really nice, and it's an amendment to your soil if you're growing gardening, stuff like that, or vegetables and fruit.
And y'all give that away by public notice?
Yeah, we don't do it very often. We've done it once, and we will put a public notice out.
So next time we have a compost giveaway, we'll make sure you guys know. Yes, we will.
Otherwise, what happens to it? Use it for the city itself?
Yeah, so they actually use it on public parks and some of the public parks to spread it on parks. And we're trying to figure out the benefits of it right now. We're actually studying it with the Arizona State University. So part of Reimagine Phoenix was also to establish public-private partnerships to help us push forward. And one of those was actually working with ASU to kind of study the benefits of I don't want to call it organic, but it's a natural amendment to the soil as opposed to using pesticides and fertilizers. And there has been significant benefits in terms of the reduction of water use and the turf and keeping it longer lasting.
Well, the study of finding I mean, this recycling isn't just a net expense. I mean, you mentioned earlier that we can't in Phoenix, we're not set up to recycle styrofoam because it's a very specific purpose that it gets used for and some complications.
Sure.
But all the plastic bottles and all the things you do recycle, because at the recycle plant, it all gets separated, glass, plastic, paper, and it moves down these conveyors. And then are you... Then someone comes and picks those new, now raw, reusable materials up, hauls it away, and they're buying it from you?
Definitely, yeah. So you hit it right on the head. So we have a contractor that's actually responsible for selling the commodities that leave the facility. So when it gets to the facility, it goes through that sorting process through the conveyor belts, and it's sorted out into the individual commodities. Then it's baled up into blocks. So blocks of material, you load about 35 of those up onto a truck, a long haul truck, and they get sent to whoever is buying them. So make no mistake, we do generate revenue off of those commodities, and it all goes back to help offset costs, processing costs, stuff like that. But plastic water bottles, laundry detergent containers, those are definitely some materials we want you to recycle. Cardboard, that stuff does generate revenue. And then, you know, especially aluminum cans. That's big.
Are you at a point to covering costs yet?
Yeah, so revenue has gone down. So with the China ban and certain commodities, the revenues have gone down. But, you know, we're still doing all right. We're generating revenue and we're helping offset costs. So that's an ongoing challenge we're working to deal and address. And that's why you're seeing us on this push on education, especially curbside, because it's right now the important message is that people recycle the right things, because that processing cost is contamination cost, essentially, is a significant.
So when we talk about those China restrictions, right, China is restricting us from, you know, sending them items or stuff that to sell that has that contamination in it. So that's where, you know, that's where we can get our community's help, is let's not put items in the recycling that don't belong in there, because then if you do, it's going to cost money and we might not be able to sell, right, to help us offset those costs.
And the plastic bottles are one.
Yep.
That really, and let's talk about the proper protocol for disposing your plastic bottle. Because y'all want it done a very specific
way,
right?
With lid, without lid.
I learned that with lid. I learned that. Yeah. And I'm like, what? I used to take the lid off. And now I know that because like if you take it off and you put it in there without the lid, it'll fall through the cracks, right? In the machine. Yeah. So I was like, now every time I throw my water bottle away, I use a reusable one, but you know.
And that's good for you, because it does break my heart a bit when I hear the statistic on how many plastic bottles actually get recycled.
Yeah.
It's a pretty small percentage.
Yeah, and so what comes through our facilities, and that's another misconception. I do so many community presentations, and the biggest thing I get with misconceptions is that, well, it all goes to the same place. Well, so they're half right. It all goes to the transfer station, but anything that's put in your recycling bin goes to that materials recovery facility that's connected to the transfer station, and we try to recycle it. So that's why it's so important to try to put the right things in the bin, because we are going to make every attempt to recycle it, even if it's something that shouldn't be put in the bin. But the protocol in terms of plastic bottles, make sure you put the caps back on. So make sure the liquid's out, screw the cap back on. And the reason for that is anything smaller than about 2.5 inches in diameter actually falls through the cracks of the facility. So if you're trying to recycle a bunch of small stuff thinking you're doing the right thing, understand and remember, make sure it's above 2.5 inches. So that's why you have to put the caps back on the bottles.
And that's your liter soda pop bottles and your 12-ounce water bottles and whatever. Just save the cap, finish it, and cap it, and throw it in the recycle bin.
Yep.
And please throw it in the recycle bin. It truly chaps me all over when I hear the percentage of plastic bottles that never make it back to the recycle. When I see flats of water leaving the grocery store in carts, and I'm just thinking, you know, there goes 96 bottles, and one or two on a national average will make it back to recycling. That's a sin.
Well, hey, change the subject a little bit. How about sticky notes are no-no, right? And envelopes with sticky on them?
No, they're fine.
Oh, so, are they really?
Yeah, just make sure you put it back on a piece of paper, so that 2.5-inch rule. So paper is completely recyclable. I would consider that a paper. It's a small piece of paper, okay. So stick it back on. But you don't need to rip staples out. You don't need to take the windows out of a plastic envelope. A paper envelope. We don't want plastic envelopes. That's all good. That's removed in the downstream process of recycling paper, but that's all recyclable, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that one wrong.
Well, that's why we've invited Lucas and Brenda here, so we could talk about these things, what to, what not to recycle, how to, and let's stay committed and let's drive that participation level up to y'all's target of 40%. Let's put Lucas out of a job.
Yeah. I got 30 years, but you know, I can retire early. It doesn't matter to me.
So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about is we recently had a really well-known speaker. We created this event, and Lucas's team helped with this, to educate the community about zero waste, right? To motivate everyone about zero waste. So Bea Johnson, she has a really large following of zero waste people. I mean, it's really essential to let people know that no matter what you do, it makes the difference, right? So there's people that they go all the way, you know, they try to do zero waste. And this lady, the speaker that we had for the community, it was a free speaker. She generates about a cookie jar's worth of trash every year. I mean, that's almost
every year.
Yeah, the whole year. And I'm like, okay, that's not me. I can't do that. I'm not there yet. However, I am trying. So like reusable water bottle, you know, she had all these tips that, of course, Lucas's team also helps with, you know, educating our community. But it helps to know that you can make a difference. As small as it is, you can make a difference. You really can.
Well, it's like a lot of things. It's like weight control. It's like budgeting.
Yep.
I mean, you make a 2-degree change in your habits, and that 2-degree going projected down the road ends up being a pretty significant improvement of whatever it is you're trying to do. So if we just get everybody to participate, that next 5 to 8 to 10%, we'll be in a great position.
Yeah, exactly. And Brenda brings up an excellent point. So we tend to focus just on recycling a lot, but really, in terms of a hierarchy, we should be focused on reducing the waste we're producing in the first place, and then reusing the stuff that we have to purchase. So that is simply buying reusable stuff. And you're seeing a lot of it in California along the coast, as they're banning certain straws and plastic bags. But, you know, here in Arizona, we're focused on, you know, reducing it. It's a voluntary effort, but we want to make sure that people know that the most important thing is reduce what you're doing. Bring reusable grocery bags to the grocery store, bring your reusable water bottle to refill it, you know, and then, you know, if you have to purchase stuff that's recyclable, and then support those markets on the back end. So buy commodities that are materials that have recycled, post-consumer recycled content in them.
And it sounds like the other thing you can do quite easily is just figure out what's supposed to go in there and what's not, to save that time and expense of putting the burden on you to figure out where this goes.
Yep. Let's get on the recycle bandwagon. That's the message from Rosie on the House this morning.